Welcome to Hearts to Believe. So good to have you join with us. Today, Jim Barber will be speaking from Acts chapter 8, verses 25 to 40, with a message entitled, I'm Confused, Please Help. Father, bless your word, we pray. Strengthen us through it. Receive praise, honor, and all the glory we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please take your Bibles, and we go to Acts chapter 8 and begin with verse 25. So when they had solemnly testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Get up and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. So he got up and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning and sitting in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go up and join this chariot. Philip ran up and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, Well, how could I, unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture which he was reading was this: He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth. The eunuch answered Philip and said, Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, Look, water! What prevents me from being baptized? And Philip said, If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. We consider the topic, I'm confused, please help. It's the words of an official, a man of considerable importance and authority in the court of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. In the structure of the Ethiopian monarchy of that time, the king was considered to be so elevated and so great in every way that he was not to have day-to-day interaction with the common people. He was not to soil himself being so high and lifted up. And so the day-to-day running of affairs was handed to the queen and those others who would assist her. And so the real power structure was in the hands of Queen Candace. Here we have mention of one of her officials who was a worshiper of God and had come to Jerusalem making his way home with something we need to understand of incredible value, a scroll of Isaiah. Clearly and obviously, before Mr. Gutenberg came along with his printing press having been written out painstakingly by hand, every letter counted in order that the word of God might have no deviations inserted and entering into it. Such was the care of the scribes in their work. We begin in Acts chapter 6. There we have the account of some trouble in the church of Jerusalem. There was an explosive situation. It was charged with emotion in that some of the widows of the Hellenistic Jews, they were being shortchanged on the daily administration of food. The apostles wisely declare it is not right, even for such a vitally important and emotionally charged problem as this, that we neglect the word of God or prayer in order to figure this out. We are going to assign this to men who are chosen. Stephen and Philip are two of the foremost of the seven deacons which are chosen on that at that point. Acts chapter 7 recounts the mighty message which Stephen gave, as well as his martyrdom. And we have introduced to us a certain fellow by the name of Saul, who was an authority at that stoning, having received the coats to take care of them, of those who were actually doing the business of putting Stephen to death. As a result of that, many of the Christians exit from Jerusalem and make their way elsewhere. A great persecution comes about. Saul being heartily in agreement that these people be put to death. Philip makes his way north. It says that he goes down Jerusalem, being situated on a mount. You go down as you enter into Samaria. And it says that Philip, in verse 5 of Acts chapter 8, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. There was a consistency in Philip. He could have preached about how that he had been poorly treated and others had been poorly treated at the hands of the Jews, but all of that was of little account. He comes preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. He holds up Jesus Christ in all of his glory to the people. And it says that the crowds were giving attention to him. And the outcome in verse 8, there was much rejoicing in that city. I've been wondering the past little while, is it worth our effort to continue to preach Christ in our modern day? We have so many other things that press in upon us, and it would seem that people are so careless and carefree as to spiritual things, those things which have weighed heavy upon the hearts of God's people for so many centuries. The answer comes to us here in Acts chapter 8. As Philip goes to a non-religious center, in one sense of the word, they were not those who worshipped the Lord. They were deviating into other endeavors. Even when Jesus himself with his disciples had come to Samaria, you remember that Jesus was not welcome. And a couple of Jesus' disciples said, "Lord, should we call down fire from heaven as punishment upon those who did not welcome you?" And Jesus said, "You do not understand the spirit which you are of." Philip comes to Samaria. and he preaches Christ to them. And the outcome is that there was rejoicing in that city. To a world which is looking for true abiding joy that this world cannot provide, nor can it keep back, we must preach Christ. We must continue to hold forth that which can bring joy to a troubled heart as none other. Remember that as we go forward in considering the Ethiopian in the desert. Preaching Christ was what brought joy to the heart. We come now to Acts chapter 8 and verse 25. The Holy Spirit, through the hands of Peter and John, sent from Jerusalem, come upon those in Samaria, and there is an understanding that Christ is not simply for the Jews of Jerusalem and Judea, but Christ is for those in the fullest sense. Christ is for those in Samaria as well. Those who were looked on really as outsiders to the covenant community of Israel. But now, Peter and John, they make their way back to Jerusalem and they are continuing to preach Christ all along the way to many other villages of the Samaritans. But God has a plan for Philip. Philip goes from an area-wide evangelistic campaign, one in which there was an incredible response. People with great joy coming to know Christ and of living for Him. Now the Spirit is about to direct Philip from that to one solitary individual who needed to know of Jesus Christ and who would return to his country to proclaim Christ and establish a church there. Verse 26, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, get up. What do you mean, get up? We're having such a good time here. Don't you see what's going on here? But Philip understood that God was to be listened to and attended. Get up, go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza, a desert road. I don't want to go to a desert road. This is fine with me. I'll just stay put. But he got up and went. Contrast him with Jonah. Here is a willing servant of the Lord. No arm twisting. There was this Ethiopian. He is introduced for us. In charge of all her treasure. Imagine a man of such authority. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. So he had already been to the temple of gold, and he had already seen the ceremony and all that went along with it. He had somewhere obtained from the wealth in his hand a copy of the scriptures, and he's going home. But having been through this experience, there is still something in his heart which is not causing the joy that he might have anticipated. You recall the Queen of Sheba. When she comes to meet with Solomon, she speaks of the glory and how that the half of your splendor has not been told me. I think that this eunuch was a little bit deflated as he makes his way home, that he was not greatly impressed with all that took place. He was sitting in his chariot and reading from that scroll, the scroll of Isaiah, chapter 53 is where we find ourselves, speaking of the suffering servant, reading Isaiah. The Spirit prods Philip and says, go up and join this chariot and Philip, he runs and hears Isaiah, the prophet, being read. He has a question for the Ethiopian. He says, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the answer is, "I'm perplexed. How could I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And Dr. Luke, he has included for us verses 7 and 8 of Isaiah 53. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation, for his life is removed from the earth?" The eunuch, he says to Philip, "I don't understand what's going on here. Someone is being talked about, but does the prophet, is he talking about himself? Led as a sheep to slaughter and as a lamb before its shearer is silent. Is he talking about himself or is he talking about someone else? I don't know who else he might be talking about." And Philip, just as he had come to Samaria and he had preached Christ to them, so he does the very same thing as he opens his mouth. And from this wonderful scripture, perhaps the most shining chapter in all of the Old Testament, of the glories of Jesus Christ in his person and in his work and in the plan of God to bring about our salvation. What a wonderful thing that the Spirit had led the Ethiopian to that very passage and led Philip that he might come and that he might be the interpreter for this passage. Philip, he opens his mouth, and from this very passage he preached Jesus to him. Oh, Luke, why do we have to wait until heaven to hear the full sermon? There is much that we would have loved to have heard from your pen. I'm sure that the Ethiopian from Philip, he heard of how that Jesus had dwelt for all eternity in glory past, and how that at a particular point in time, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they created this world, but that there was a fall and there needed to be a Redeemer. And even from that earliest point, there would be the promise how that Jesus would crush the head of the serpent. You find that in Genesis chapter 3, crushing the head of the serpent. But that Jesus, there would be a long wait for him to come, to be incarnate in the womb of the Virgin Mary, born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, preaching through the hills of Judea, Samaria, Galilee, and then crucified, led as a sheep to slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent, not opening his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life was removed from the earth. And the Ethiopian, he would hear that it was Jesus, not a prophet of human extraction, not just another rabbi, not a scribe or a priest of the golden temple in Jerusalem, but rather God's very own Son who had come as the atoning sacrifice. Clearly, though we wait for glory to hear that message word for word, clearly it hit the very center of the target, because as they went along the road, they came to some water. This man who had gone to Jerusalem, coming home with his fancy souvenir in his hand, but yet a hungry heart, not having been introduced to what the tabernacle and all the ceremony foreshadowed, all of a sudden it becomes plain to him. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, the very Son of God, to whom it all points. And the eunuch says to Philip, "Look, water! What prevents me from being baptized?" Now, Philip, he wanted to be sure that there was a laying hold in the heart. Baptism was something very important, both in the Jewish community and in the wider world of that day, as an understanding that someone was breaking with their old life and they were entering into a new world. Even the secret societies of the Greek world, they had baptism as a part of their rituals. And so it was understood that there was a break from the past and an entering into something new through baptism. Philip has a question. He wants to be sure that there is a comprehension of what it is that the man is leaving behind and entering into. Philip says to him, "If you believe with all your heart," all your heart, "and if you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answers, the eunuch answers, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And they go down into the water, and Philip baptizes the eunuch right there and right then. There are few passages of Scripture which compare with Acts chapter 8 and what we have considered here in their power and in their clarity in the working of the Spirit to bring someone to Christ. We consider as a comparison what takes place in Acts chapter 16 when Paul and Silas are in Philippi and they are in prison. And then late that night there is a shaking, there is an earthquake, and there is a release. The jailer thinks, surely everyone has bolted. Who in the world would hang around? But Paul calls out when the man is about to kill himself, "We are all here." He comes in trembling, knowing that his life almost was taken by his own hand. And he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas, they say, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And in verse 34, it says that he rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. Well, back to Acts chapter 8, we see that the man is baptized right there. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord took Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no longer. Philip's work was done on that day. But it says that the eunuch, he went on his way rejoicing. What had put that joy in his heart? Previously, he had been sitting there in his chariot. I'm sure it was lavish. I'm sure it had all of the comforts of the day. But he was reading and he was perplexed. He didn't know what he was reading about. There was no joy in his heart. But Philip, led by the Spirit, comes. And he proclaims Christ to the man. He opens up his understanding of who Jesus is, of what he has done, of what Calvary accomplished. And all of a sudden the man says, I want that. I need that. I want to be a part of that in every way. And so this is what takes place. And Philip, when he's taken away, the eunuch, he doesn't say, oh, I wish that man would have stayed with me longer. The eunuch clearly realized that Jesus Christ was with him and that Philip had been given for a moment of time in order to introduce him, not to himself. Philip hadn't come in order to declare his own greatness, but Philip had come to open the man's eyes and to open his understanding, to open the door that Jesus Christ might be known and rejoiced in every way. And so the job was done. The job was done there in Samaria when Philip had come and preached Christ unto them, and they were filled with joy. And Philip, he knew that the task was done, and he comes, he preaches on the desert road there going down toward Gaza. And the job was done, and the Spirit had more work for him in Azotus and all the way to Caesarea. Jesus Christ lifted up, Jesus Christ, the one who gives joy in the heart that this world can never compare with. Lord, we give you thanks and praise for all of your goodness. We give you thanks that you have come that we might know joy in our hearts. This world has so many sorrows, so many struggles and difficulties, things that would weigh us down, burdens that pile upon one another until we are flat in the dirt. Lord, you have come that we might know life abundant and everlasting, and all of our rejoicing is in you. So, O Lord, continue your mighty work, and may we never hold back, hesitate about the splendor of Jesus Christ, all of the advancements, so-called, of this world, all of the things which attract and allure, all of the things which would loudly promote themselves as being never heard of and so satisfying. Oh God, may our satisfaction be in you, our rejoicing, our delight. May our all be in you. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for Hearts to Believe. Pastor H.H. Barber, now for nearly 2 years in glory, is remembered for many things, but especially as a preacher of the Word. For 75 years, a very active gospel ministry, it was his delight to take his Bible in hand and to preach of the cross, of the Savior who died there, and of the invitation which God extends to us to be reconciled to God. June 23, 2022, marks the 100th anniversary of Pastor Barber's birth. Hearts to Believe is remembering how God used this man in a remarkable way. We have selected numerous sermons by Pastor Barber to include on a brand new 2-DVD set. You will be richly blessed as you see his familiar face and hear him invite you to dig into God's Word. Ask for your free copy of Pastor H.H. Barber's sermons when you write to Hearts to Believe, Box 426, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3C 2H6, or call us at 1-833-367-3852. This 2-DVD set of sermons is sent free and postage paid. It is yours simply for the asking. Our prayer is that this new release, as with all the Hearts to Believe resources, is that you may be strengthened in your walk with Christ and come to better know his abundant and everlasting life. We leave you now with the Apostle Peter's benediction. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and unto the day of eternity. Amen.